The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew, chapter 10, beginning at verse 40. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said to the 12, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." For the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of God, whose Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Amen. Please be seated. Don't you love that photograph? Can you see the heart in the water there? It's sweet. I love it. I think that's a lovely photo. I like that one. So the gospel that we've just heard is brief, almost deceptively so. Only three verses. A few sentences about welcome, reward, and the giving of a cup of cold water. And it would be really easy to pass over it quickly and to hear it as little more than a bit of moral encouragement to be kind, generous, and hospitable. And it certainly is that. There's no denying. But if we stop there, if we just see it as only that, we miss the profound depth of what Jesus is saying. Because beneath these simple words lies something huge. Jesus is speaking here about the very mystery of God's presence in the world. He said, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me." There's a lot in those words, isn't there? This isn't just about manners or treating the disciples nicely. It's about participation in divine communion. See how Jesus creates this chain of presence. The disciples carry Jesus. Christ carries the Father. To receive one is to receive the other. So there's movement here, almost a bit like a river flowing from God into the world. The Father sends the Son. The Son sends the disciples. The life of God is moving outward and extending itself into human relationships and ordinary encounters. This tells us something crucial about Christianity. Our faith is never, ever entirely private. We can sometimes reduce our faith to something interior, my beliefs, my prayers, my relationship with God. And those things do matter deeply, they really do. But the gospel always insists that faith becomes embodied and it takes flesh and it moves outward as it enters the world through Christ first and then his disciples. This is what incarnation is all about. God didn't save the world by sending ideas. He sent a son. And the Son, in turn, sends disciples. So the mission of the church is actually an extension of the incarnation itself. Christ continues to make himself present through his people. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about that too much, but that's a little bit humbling, isn't it? And maybe a little bit unsettling at the same time. It means when we meet another Christian, we're never simply encountering an individual. We're encountering someone in whom Christ dwells. St. Paul understood this when he said, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." That isn't just poetry, that's actually a baptismal reality. As I said last week, at baptism, a person is united to Christ, drawn into his death and resurrection, and incorporated into his body, the body of Christ. The Christian life is not imitation from the outside, it's participation from the inside. So Christ's life becomes our life. So when Jesus says, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me," he's actually revealing something about the church herself. She is sacramental. Not in the narrow sense only of the seven sacraments. If you want to know anything about the seven sacraments, speak to the confirmees and those that are doing their preparation for the bishop's visit. We chatted about the seven sacraments at our last session. And so it's not just about the narrow, sort of in a narrow sense, about the seven sacraments, but in the broader sense of being an outward and visible sign of an inward, invisible grace, spiritual grace. Through human lives, God communicates himself. This is why the way we treat one another matters so profoundly, because every single encounter carries eternal significance. Every act of welcome or rejection touches something larger than we realize. Think about how often in Scripture God comes disguised in the ordinary. It's amazing when you look back through the Scriptures that you sort of see how God does come and people don't recognize God initially. Remember Abraham welcoming three strangers at Mamre, and then he discovers that he's entertained the Lord. Or the disciples on the road to Emmaus walk with the risen Christ, but they don't actually recognize him until he breaks bread at table with them. Again and again, divine presence is hidden in human form. Matthew's gospel carries on with this theme later on in chapter 25, when Jesus says, "I was hungry and you gave me food, thirsty and you gave me drink." This means Christian hospitality is not merely social, it's actually sacramental vision. It's learning to perceive Christ where he's hidden, and that's not always easy. It also changes how we understand ministry. Because so often we do think of ministry as something that priests or missionaries or leaders do, but here Jesus broadens it dramatically. Even giving a cup of cold water to one of these little ones means we participate in God's infinite, overflowing generosity. And our God is so generous, isn't he? So generous. The phrase little ones matters because it points to those who seem insignificant or without status. And we know they're the people that Jesus spent most of his time with, because they were the ones that were overlooked. They were the ones that nobody else really wanted to have much to do with. Yet in the Gospels, time and time again, we find greatness is not measured by power, but by receptivity to God. So we see that, don't we? The ones that are the elites, the Pharisees, the temple, the ones that are in the temple, work in the temple, they're almost disdainful of Jesus. In fact, they actively work against him, don't they? And they just don't hear what he has to say. They sort of see themselves as being so superior. But the ones, the lowly ones, he's fine. The lowly ones, the little ones, are the ones that they know what their need is, and they're open. They're so open to receive what Jesus has to say. So they're the ones that are open to grace because they know their need. What Jesus reveals here is that grace is relational. We do not encounter God in isolation. God actually reaches out to us through one another. That's why the Christian tradition has always insisted salvation is personal, but never individualistic. We belong to one another. The body of Christ is not a metaphor of convenience. It's actually an ontological reality. We are bound together in Christ. What happens to one affects all. What one offers blessing, what one offers blesses all. What one suffers wounds all. And this has immense implications for how we live in a world that's increasingly shaped by individualism.
We're constantly told to protect our space and define our boundaries. Yet the gospel keeps encouraging us to move outward into encounter. Not because God wants to burden us, but because the Trinity is eternal self-giving. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit pour themselves into one another in endless communion. To live in Christ is to be drawn into this movement. And that's why welcome matters so much. To welcome another is to participate in God's own hospitality and salvation. The whole story of Scripture can be seen this way. At the beginning, we have humanity being estranged from God, and they have to wander out east of Eden because of what happened in the garden there. And then God has this relentless way of trying to bring us home again, doesn't he? And we have the covenant with Israel. We have the prophets that he sends. We have the temple that's built. We have the coming of Christ. All of it, every single bit of it, is God opening the door to us again to restore that relationship. The cross itself is a great act of welcome as Christ stretches out his arms to gather humanity back into the life of God. So when we welcome another, we become participants in God's reconciling work. This also sheds light on the mysterious language of reward in today's gospel. Because when you first read it, you can sort of think, I don't know if I agree with that or not. I don't know if that's quite right or not. Because it's almost like Jesus is speaking of the prophet's reward and a righteous person's reward and making it sound very transactional, as though grace was some sort of spiritual wage. And that would absolutely completely misrepresent the point, don't we? Because we know that grace isn't like that at all. In Scripture, reward is not payment. It's actually participation. So to welcome a prophet is to share in the life that the prophet bears, to hear what the prophet has to say. To welcome the righteous is to share in their righteousness. The reward is actually communion itself, participation in the life of God, and that begins now. So every act of love, every single act of love opens us up more deeply to that communion. Every act of mercy enlarges our capacity for God. The vast mysteries of God are not held in the grandest events in history, but also in the smallest acts. So God can do amazing things. God created the world and did amazing things. But then there's also the tiny, tiny things that God did, and the tiny, tiny things that God's aware of. This is the pattern of the kingdom. Infinity hidden in simplicity. Glory hidden in humility. God hidden in flesh. A cup of water doesn't seem like much. But in the hands of love, it becomes a revelation of divine life. And this should reassure us, because most of us will not do spectacular things. I know I certainly haven't done spectacular things in my lifetime. Most of us don't. Most of our lives will unfold in ordinary faithfulness, in hidden acts and quiet service, the phone call that we make to check on someone, the meal that we drop off to a neighbour, the quiet listening we offer to a friend who's struggling, the smile to a stranger, the kindness no one sees. And yet the gospel tells us today that none of it is lost. Because when offered in Christ, the smallest act becomes caught up in eternity. And that's the mystery before us. The God who became small so nothing small would ever, ever be meaningless again. So maybe the question the gospel leaves us with is wonderfully simple. Who needs a cup of cold water from me right now? Who in my life is thirsty, not just physically, but emotionally, spiritually, relationally? Who is longing to be noticed? Who needs encouragement? Who needs presence? Who needs mercy? It may be someone in your own home, someone in this parish. It may be someone that you've been avoiding. It could even be yourself. Because sometimes we forget ourselves. We sometimes forget that we need to nurture ourselves as well. We forget that Christ also welcomes us. He sees our weariness and our doubts and our failures and our hidden griefs, and he doesn't turn away. He makes room for us and offers us living water. And from that place of being welcomed by him, we learn how to welcome others. This is the heartbeat of Christian life. Not greatness in the world's eyes, but ordinary mercy, the offering of the cup of water in front of us. And perhaps when all is said and done, this is how the kingdom grows. Quietly, patiently, one act of welcome, one act of kindness at a time, one cup of cold water, and Christ is in it all. The Lord be with you.